So let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. We've been here a long time. That clock says 1:08. So I guess I got to keep you here till 2. No, I'm kidding. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20, if you stand for the reading of the word. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Whose will? His will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll notice, in the verses that I just read, it has nothing to do with you. But God wants to use you. You have no ability, no power other than what God gives you. And so our theme this month is, do your part. Look to your neighbor to your right and say, do your part. Look to the neighbor to your left and say, you do your part too. You see, if we do the part that God has given, because each of you are different, you have different things to do. God has given you different abilities. God has given you different things to do. But you know what? With God's help, only you can do what God is calling you to do. But we have to do our part. We have to see and understand that we have a part. I remember coaching soccer, and there was one girl who was excited to just sit on the bench. And when I would tell her, hey, you got to go in, she'd, oh. And I mean, you know, but do you know that there are Christians in the church of Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ, who don't understand that they have a part, and it's just like that little girl, oh, I don't want to go out. Would rather just sit on the bench and do nothing. That ought not to be in the body of Christ. Every part, every member of the body has a function, has a purpose, it has value, and that God wants to use. And so for you to tell the master, the creator, I don't want to do it. It's just like that young girl who did not want to go on the field and play. When I was calling out, okay, you're going to be forward, you're going to be defense. And then, you know, because I was calling out the starting lineup. And then, you know, I said, and then, of course, one kid, he would always want to play, but, you know, just trying to, you know, get the team to play every, you know, every part. So I don't have to keep having a shirt being tugged. When do I go in, coach? When do I go in? This girl was glad to just sit on the bench. There are Christians that are glad to just do nothing. That does not happen. It ought not to be that way. That's not what Jesus died for. Jesus did not die so that you could just do whatever you want. He even said you are to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and carry it. Not weekly.
Daily.
Yes, thank you. Daily. Verse 21, it says, make you complete. You see, God has equipped you in every good work to do his will. Everything that you need, everything that I need, God has equipped me. God has enabled me. God has given me the ability. God has given me the brain. He's given the way my weird brain works. He's given me all of that stuff. And of course, he's got to tweak it every now and then. But he's given all of this stuff to me, to you, because he has a will. He has a plan. He has something that you have a part to do. He has provided something for us already. You see, you don't create the way, and a lot of people try to create their way of Christianity. Well, you know, your Bible says this, but, you know, I take it this way. You got to be careful with those people. You got to throw a couple of scriptures at them, because more scriptures at them helps them balance out that they're just justifying themselves and just creating a comfortable Christianity. And Jesus does not teach that, does not model that. He is not an example of comfort Christianity. So Jesus is the way. He directs the way you're supposed to live. We talked about it this morning about sin and the problem with sin and how people justify their sin. They justify it because Jesus isn't the standard. They are the standard, or they create someone to be the ruler or the standard. And if Jesus isn't it, you live however you want to live. You do whatever you want to do. You say whatever you want to say. Or, you know, nowadays, you Facebook it whatever you want to say. But when Jesus is the standard, you regulate what you say, what you do, how you live your life, what direction your life is living. And when you look to him as the standard or the great prime example, Then you know what you have to fix. Then you know what direction, what change you have to make in your direction. Jesus is the truth, the solid doctrine to live by. And a lot of people try to, like I said, try to just justify and create their own scriptures, their own plan of salvation. There's only one, Jesus. He's the Word. He is the living Word, alive. He never fails. I mean, we've said this before, that heaven and earth will pass away. That's not what Rick is saying. That's what the Word of God says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. That's what God says in His Word. So Jesus is the life. He gives us new holy living. You see, God has provided all the things, and all we got to do is show up and say, Master, or say, Father, or say, Lord, or say, Jesus, my Savior, I'm here, ready. Just like many of you. Hopefully, when you go to work, because whatever you do it as unto the Lord. But when you clock in ready what? To work. Not ready to go, you know, over by the drinking fountain and talk about whatever happened over the weekend. Talk about the game. Talk about what you did. Talk about what you bought. But you go and you clock in to what? To work. Every day, we ought to clock in to the Lord and say, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. So God's provided what we're supposed to do, the works, the functions, the abilities to get His job done. Now, I like this, what we experienced so far this morning in the service. We're family, the family of God. Now, listen, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you. I want to just say something, that you're missing out of a wonderful family. A wonderful family that if every part of that family understands I need Jesus and I'm humble, then I will not point the finger at anybody else and all your wrongs, because I know I have some things that God is working on me. But I'll accept you, I'll love you, and I'll pray for you, because we have a loving Savior who is wanting to do something in us. So my first point is, we are all family. So therefore, a family should be in unity, correct? I mean, hopefully you would want that for your home. Behind the front door, there's all kinds of stuff going on that nobody knows, but only the people behind that front door. That front door being the front door of your house. But behind that front door, I believe that every parent ought to desire that my family is in unity. Everyone loves each other, accepts each other, respects each other, hears each other, thinks the best or wants the best for each other. And I think it's true that phrase, a family that prays together, what? Stays together. Because you're praying for the same things, hopefully. You're praying for God to be, you know, for God's love to be demonstrated in your lives. The family of God that God provided and that God has made available for us, His children, those who believe in His Son, that we would do our part and do what God is leading us to do. That's why I love Ephesians chapter 2:10. You put it up on the screen, Ephesians 2:10. It says that you are His masterpiece. So again, look to the person to your right and say, you are God's masterpiece. Look to the person to your left, say, you are God's masterpiece. See, we are His workmanship. Jacob said, I know. All right, so we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus, because of Jesus. Man, it's good to just sit there and just say it out loud. Because of Jesus, I am saved. Because of Jesus, I can be forgiven. Because of Jesus, I can talk to you, God. Because of Jesus, there is no disrupt in my communication with you, Father. Because of Jesus, I'm set free. We sang a little while ago, because of Jesus, I am cleansed, white as snow. Because of Jesus. God's provided those things. And so, created in Christ Jesus for good works, not yours, not mine, God's, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's already there. And it's sometimes, it's kind of hard for some to wrap your mind and your thoughts around this. But 10 years from now, if Jesus doesn't return, the rapture doesn't happen. But if 10 years from now, you're still living in Camden, God was already there. We're talking about it here in 2029, God's already, that's how big God is. He's already there. He's already got plans. He's already got situations He wants us to walk in. So when we read this, Ephesians 2:10, man, God knows you. He created you. You are His masterpiece, His workmanship. And He's got things for you to do. Therefore, do your part. There is no need for you to add to what God, well, you know what, God, I know you want me to do that, but you know what, I got something else that I want to do. No, there is no way that you're going to add to what God wants you to do. For the sake of time, we're going to read these scriptures, and I'm cutting my sermon short, and rightfully so. I don't regret doing what we just did a little while ago, praying for these persecuted Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. But I want us to go to Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. You see, there's a group of people in the Old Testament who didn't agree with the truth that God has already provided everything that you need. And so this is the passage of scripture about the Tower of Babel. It says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar." It is the land of Shinar is known as not in the mountains. It was like in the valley, in the plain. "And they dwelt there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly,'" not to eat them, of course, but to use them for building purposes. "They must have watched, they must have watched Noah's DIY channel or something on how to make stuff, because they said, 'Let's make bricks.' They had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city.'" So now they want to build a tower, now they want to build a city, or they want to make bricks, now they want to build a city. And it says, "And a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language.'" He recognizes something that's going on here. Unity. People are coming together, but it's unity for all the wrong reasons. So God says, "Indeed, the people are one. They all have one language, and this is what they begin to do." Now notice what God says. "Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth." Do you think that God brought confusion to them and disrupted their unity because God was... Wow, this is really good. Yeah, you know, God got, you know, a little jealous. No. It was an amazing thing what happened just a while ago. And I believe, and I would like to say, that it took the attention of God. That if every single one of us in this room, when I asked, that we would take a moment and every single person focus and our attention on God in worship. See, because it took the attention of God when people got into unity for all the wrong reasons. They wanted to make bricks. They wanted to make something of themselves. You know, this happens today in the body of Christ, that Christians want to make something. You're already somebody. God loved you, that God sent his son, that Jesus died for you. You are already someone in Christ. You don't have to go try to make something out of yourself. Now, unless God tells you to be a doctor, unless God tells you to be a teacher, unless God tells you to do something, then do it with all your might. But if God is calling you to do something, it's not for you to, "I don't think so. I don't want to do that, God. I think I'm going to go do this." Don't add to what God already has prepared for you. The Tower of Babel, their work took notice by God. And because they had one language, one speech, one way of communication, God did not like, "Oh, I'm a little jealous now. You guys are doing a lot of good things over there. And you're not keeping me involved." See, that disrupts what God wants to do. When you and I do something, that we keep God out of the picture, out of the equation. When you have plans and decisions to make, that you don't make that. Listen, there is always time to pray. Don't fall for that lie. "I don't have time to pray." Oh yeah, you do. People can wait. You can go ahead and pray. "Well, I just don't have time." No, you know what? You could turn off the talk radio and the radio on the way to work, and you can pray all the way to work. Don't tell me you don't have time to pray. But what we do, we keep God out of the equation of what we want to do. Why? And what are we doing in that moment? We are saying that we are more important than what God has for us, or what God has already provided for us. And so here, God brought confusion to these people. Now, this tower, there is an ancient Greek historian. I never heard of this guy before. Herodotus. He was quoted, ancient Greek historian. He was quoted to have seen the tower, and that it was standing still in his time. It's not a fairy tale. It's in the Word, because it really happened. And that there were people, actually people like you and I that got together, one language, one in one, in unity, maybe a big, huge family, I don't know. But you know what? They came together to do something great. But it was all for the wrong reasons, and God did not want that to happen because they were walking and moving in idolatry. Today, you might see yourself like these people building a tower. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, you're building, your life is too busy building your own life. You're making bricks, not literally, of course, but you're making bricks and you're building a life to live and a name for yourself that God is saying, and he's been saying for months, maybe weeks, maybe days, I have not called you to do that. I have not called you to do that, to be there. I'm calling you to higher things. If you'll just set aside those things, and the word was given earlier, if you'll set aside certain things and actually see what I've provided for you, it is so much better than what you're trying to do. But yet if we continue to do what we're wanting to do on ourselves, God's going to disrupt that as well. My second point is that the proud would be defeated. James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And one version, it says, God opposes the proud. That word opposes means disapprove of. Yep, I'm saying it. God disapproves of some of the things you're doing. Why? Because you're doing it out of pride. Not out of humility and say, God, here I am. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet, Lord. Here I am. But God disapproves, and there will be an attempt to prevent it. God will stand in your way. God used a donkey to stand in the way of some guy. He'll use anything and even a donkey if he wants to. He'll go ahead and do that. But he opposes the proud. But listen to what he gives. He gives grace to the humble. He does this every day if you're looking for it. If you're reminding yourself who you are and how great God is, that God sees the big picture, that God sees it all. You see, there's a plan and a course of action that is priority, and God has something already for you. Because the only place for God is first. He's the only place to be priority. There is nobody else or nothing else that ought to be first in your life. Because the proud makes no room for God and what God wants to do. That's why he opposes the proud. But the humble say, God, you're first. God, here I am. Lord, here I am. I'm ready to work. Lord, my life is yours. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet, Lord. Whatever you want to do, Lord, do through me. That's why we find Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom. I think a lot of people like to put, well, I am seeking you first, God, but you fall under 1B, 1D. No, God ought to be first. Your finances first. Decisions that you got to make, really important ones, not like, you know, ketchup or mustard. No. But really important ones, you got to seek God. God comes first. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But, you know, from James chapter 6, he mentions God resists the proud. Just four more scriptures, it's repeated. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. If you don't humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, what do you think he's going to do? He ain't lifting you up. We just read in verse 6, he opposes, he disapproves, he resists. So the humble understand, God, I have a purpose and it comes from you. And my purpose is to do your will. It's not that I create it for myself. It's what you've already created for me. Do your part. God's favor. As a matter of fact, do you have slide 2? You can go ahead and put that up there. I am increasing in influence and favor for the kingdom of God. And there's a reference there, and it references Joseph. Because he was humble. It didn't get to his head when he was in second in command and like, oh yeah, here it goes. I got the signet ring. I can do whatever. No, he was still connected and humble that I am here. God placed me here for a specific reason and a purpose. We have to come to that conclusion time and time again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in what? All in all. Diverse. What does that mean? Variety. Different things, different stuff. There's one God. But there's different things that the body of Christ needs to do. That is why every single member of the body of Christ has a part to play. And none of us have any room or a leg to stand on to say, nah, I'm going to sit on the bench. Don't be that the little girl on my soccer team. I would rather ride the bench. You have no excuse, no reasoning, again, no foot to stand on that gives you the ability or the authority to just do nothing unless you want to be proud. Unless you want to be like the people that built the Tower of Babel. Did they not remember the story of God, what God did with Noah? I mean, because that happened in what, Genesis 5 and 6. And here in Genesis 11, these people are building this tower because they want to make a name for themselves. And their very regret or fear to not be scattered abroad the earth and forgotten, it actually happened. Why? It wouldn't have happened, but it did because they were proud and God brought confusion and scattered them abroad. Why? A great example of God opposing the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If they would have looked to God and say, God, you did some great things. We heard the story about the flood. And man, you know what? You're a God, and whatever you have, whatever plan you have for me, that's the plan that I'm going to live. Why? Because God equips, God fills, and God empowers those who believe in him, those who make themselves available. Listen, whose responsibility is to be readily available? Yours. Everybody point at yourself. Don't point at somebody else. Point at yourself. You have that responsibility to be readily available to what God has. Because when Jesus says it is finished, yeah, that's true. It is finished. What was finished was all the things you and I could never do. But what we have to do today, now, is to be the light in a dark world. To be the love in a place and to people that are unlovable, to share the truth where there's not a whole lot of truth and there needs to be some truth shared. That is our job. That is our responsibility. People to share Christ so that those who are lost can be saved. My last point, slide 3, promote unity in the body. 1 Corinthians 1:10, John 17:23 talks about unity. John 17:23, Jesus says this, I in them and you in me, he's talking to the Father, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The downfall of the people who built the Tower of Babel is that they didn't realize their ability came from God and it was for God's purpose, not their own. Don't fall for that same lie. Don't fall for that same trick that the enemy would love to set for us a pitfall, to fall in, to live our life, to make bricks for ourselves, to make a tower for ourselves, to make a life for ourselves so that we can be made known and that we're not scattered abroad, but that we would say, Father, my life is yours. That we would live like you know Jesus. You know, sometimes moms would say, live like you have some sense, boy. It's always boy, but anyway, live like you know Jesus. Live like you are saved by Jesus. Live like you see Jesus, like you will see Jesus one day. 1 Peter 5b says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He was quoted in saying, amen. He was quoted in saying the church has been accustomed. See, the church is supposed to be a lifeboat. But the church has been accustomed to be a cruise ship. Yeah. So everybody that comes to church, we've heard it before, but it comes to church, treats church like a restaurant. Just come for whatever you need. You just come to sit, sip on a little something, then just walk out and leave. I started thinking a cruise ship. What did I do on a cruise ship when I went on a cruise ship? It was all about me. I relaxed. I ate some more. But it was all about me. It wasn't about the people on, you know, I didn't even stand outside the cruise ship and look at somebody who really wanted to be on the cruise ship and give my ticket to them. But we just come because it's just about us. And I started thinking about that quote he had said. And I said, Lord, I don't want us to be like that, man. But this is the mentality that we have to understand, that God has given us a part to play. And you know what? The awesome thing is if every single person of Hidden Treasures does their part, God's going to bust this place out through the seams. And God is just going to do great things. And that's not just people coming in. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't want to come in, but they'll be blessed out there because everybody in here is doing their part and impacting with the love of Jesus to everybody that's out there. And God will be recognized and known, and the reputation will be all his because he receives all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen.